Is this kind of season? Any tears show up in your eyes right now with that? It's like, oh, Heidi, Richard, thank you so much for helping us in our walk with Christ. Very grateful. We better pray. It's us again, Lord. Thanks for always listening. Thanks for always being with us. We need your help, as always. So much going on in this world we don't understand. Help us in the midst of things that don't make sense. Help us to trust and to believe in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the promise of the resurrection to life everlasting. Amen. So, Ascension Sunday. Perfect music for Ascension Sunday. It's between that Easter and almost Pentecost, between the resurrection of Jesus from the dead to the gift of God's Holy Spirit and us that we're going to receive next week. So come back to hear that sermon. I'm sure it's better than this. At his ascension, Jesus opened and entered heaven and opened the door for all humanity. All humanity. So, what did you get out of today's gospel lesson that Pastor read so beautifully? We're going to take a few minutes. You want to break the Bibles out? What? They took the Bibles out of church? Oh, my God in heaven. Bring it next time you come. We're going to look at the last few verses of the Gospel of Luke. And do you ever read the Bible or hear it, and all of a sudden your mind goes somewhere else? Anyone ever had that issue? Just me. Wow, two of us, three of us. Okay, good, I'm not alone. This time I was reading it, and something different jumped out. Not one of those wow moments, but more of a, never thought of it like that before. So knowing I'm a little bit off, this is where my mind went today, especially at the end of the reading where Jesus ascends up into heaven, up, up, up and away. The fifth dimension, 1967. Up, up and away, my beautiful. Now get that song out of your head the rest of the day, right? That's where my mind went. I'm a little off. You knew that. So, we're going to look, a little review, but we're going to look at some of the things that may have jumped out at you when you heard that, saw that, read that, prepared that. So here we go. Jesus tells his disciples, in this book, on verse, what is it? 44. That he is in this book from the beginning. Moses, the prophets, the Psalms. He fulfills all that. That's what he's telling the disciples. That's what he's telling us today, right? And everything written about Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, it says. And then, did you catch verse 45? Of course you didn't, because we don't have numbers. Jesus says this. He opened their minds to understand scriptures. Wouldn't you love that? I still read this book and I get confused. No worries, I'm still reading it, right? But I still get confused. I don't understand everything I need and everything I read. Reminds me of the story of, remember W.C. Fields, that crazy character, comedian, kind of rough, no, very rough around the edges years ago. The story is told that W.C. Fields is in the hospital close to death, and he's reading the Bible. The nurse comes in and says, Mr. Fields, I didn't know you're a religious man. Is everything okay? No, I'm not religious. I'm just looking for loopholes. Jesus opened up our minds to understand the scriptures. Can you imagine what it would look like, this world would look like, what you and I would look like if we understood and then applied all that to our lives? Oh. Jesus' return to God is essential, crucial part of Christianity. He's going to prepare a place for us. He's at God's side. He intercedes for us. Even though he's going to God's side, he doesn't leave us alone. We're not abandoned. Next week, the secret gift that you're going to get is the talk of the Pentecost. The Pentecost, it's God's presence inside us, the Holy Spirit inside us. It's the abiding reminder of Jesus' victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil. I like what Paul says in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 34. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, he was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us all. Or Jesus says it this way in the Gospel of John, 14th chapter. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let them not be afraid. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and when I go, I will come back and take it to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. I got a little stuck on this verse 47. Repentance and forgiveness of sin is to be proclaimed in Jesus' name to all nations. Did you catch that? All nations? Really? Do you think he really means that? All nations? I mean, does all mean all in this situation? Or is that all means? Our forgiveness of sin, is it only for some? You see, Jesus beat death. He took all of our imperfect brokenness upon him. The message of God's love is for all people. It's meant to be shared. Forgiveness. Pastor Iverson put it this way. The person who refuses to forgive destroys the bridge over which he himself must cross. Or how about this one from C.S. Lewis? To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in us. That was a little close to home. So, do you have any unfinished business? Something you're holding on to? Anything you're allowing to ramble around between your ears? Any resentments? Anything you won't let go of? Give it to Christ. Lay it down at the foot of the cross. In the name of Jesus Christ, you're forgiven. Now that you've been forgiven, let's forgive others. Sunday school teacher, teaching a class, she concludes her lesson, right? And wanted to make sure that she made her point, so she asked the children in the Sunday school class, can anyone tell me what you must do before you obtain forgiveness of sins? There's a short pause, and then in the back of a room, a 7-year-old Charlie raises his hand and spoke up, sin! That was a great joke. Come on. What do you do before? You have to sin before you receive the forgiveness of sins, right? Boy, that was flat, wasn't it? I mean, come on, man. Forgiveness of sin. You got to sin first. Guess what? We're a room full of sinners. We need to have a sign out front that says sinners only. You see, repentance is not some sort of virtuous work that gains forgiveness of our sins. Forgiveness of our sins is God's gracious gift to us and the promise to those who repent. You see, when we repent, when we get rid of all that baggage, we cast ourselves at the mercy and grace and direction and spiritual healing of the great physician, Jesus Christ. Spread forgiveness. Spread. It's meant to be shared. Closing story. There's a book out there. It's written back in 1984. I can't find my copy, so if you have one you want to get rid of, Mooch will take it from you. It's called A Forgiving God in an Unforgiving World, Ron Lee Davis. He talks about a priest in the Philippines, a very much loved man, but he carried the burden of a sin that he carried and committed many, many years before. And he repented of it, but he could never get a sense of peace or a sense of God's forgiveness. Well, in his parish, this priest had a woman who deeply loved God and who claimed to have visions in which she actually spoke with Christ. He with her and her with her with him, and it's back and forth. The priest, however, was a little bit skeptical. What kind of weirdo do we have here talking to God, right? So the priest wants to test her, and so he says, okay, so the next time you talk to Jesus, I want you to ask him what sin your priest committed while he was in seminary. Well, this gracious, loving woman agreed, said, sure. A few days later, priest asked her, well, what did Jesus say? Did you visit him in your dreams? Yes. Did you ask him what sin I committed? Yes. Well, what did he say? He said, I don't remember. God forgives. He forgets. In the meantime, let's choose forgiveness because it's meant to be shared. God bless you.